It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 56 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray.
So Carson, there are a lot of ships that are available in X-Wing that don't see a lot of competitive play for a number of reasons. Things like most non-bigs T-65 X-Wings, A-Wings haven't seen a lot of play as of late, and then one ship in particular didn't see much competitive play like right out of the gate. I don't think I saw it in a strong competitive build when it was released.
You're talking about the Star Viper, right?
Okay, two ships. But the one I'm talking about today...
Okay. The Kirass, right?
There are a number of ships that don't see a lot of competitive play, but the Sick Interceptor is one of those ones that right out of the gate, we tried to make it work.
Oh, the Sick.
I bought several of them. Yeah, I bought several of them and could never quite figure out where they fit in the list. So last week, we got a new article from Fantasy Flight spoiling the new upgrade and ship cards for the Sick Interceptor that come along with the Sea Rock Epic Ship expansion. And there's actually some really cool stuff in there.
We've known that the Sick is going to be featured in this expansion for a while and have been waiting for this article because, as they've done with every other Epic ship, it's come with really impactful cards to boost ships that aren't quite hitting the competitive play right up to competitive play, sometimes above everybody else as well.
So let's get to it. All right, before we dive into these new upgrade cards and pilots, Carson, I wanted to take a minute to talk about what we think are the reasons that the Sick Interceptor has not in the past seen a lot of competitive play.
When the Sick was first released, I think we're going to just call it the Sick. The M3A Interceptor is just too much to say.
Yeah, let's call it the Sick.
The Sick, when it was first released in Wave 6, I definitely tried building a list with them using, you know, all four, just one or two in a list here and there.
I think my first build was probably two of the Cartel Spacers, the PS2 ones, with Heavy Sick Title and the Heavy Laser Cannon paired with four Z95. So I was trying to run a little mini swarm thing, which unfortunately wasn't as effective as I thought it would be.
So the appeal of the Sick was that access to a cannon. It was the cheapest ship and still remains the cheapest ship with access to the cannon slot.
Yeah, you could get a Cartel Spacer, Pilot Skill 2 Sick, with the Heavy Sick Title and a Mangler Cannon on the board for 20 points.
The cheapest generic without the title was at 14 points, so you really weren't using this optimally as a swarm ship because it's two more points than a TIE Fighter for a TIE Fighter stat line. Yes, it has the target lock action, so it's got like a built-in targeting computer mod. But nobody ever uses targeting computer mod because that's really not worth 2 points to get the target lock action.
Well, especially on a two attack dice ship, and I think that's one of the fundamental problems here. Without the cannon upgrade, just any of the base level ones, two attack dice without heavy modification are very unreliable in competitive X-Wing, especially now that the game has escalated. Oftentimes you're needing consistent damage output with three attack dice rolling three hits, or even beyond that now with four or five dice attacks.
Yeah, and people were worried when the ship was released that, wow, this will be game-breaking. You can fit four ships with heavy laser cannons into a list. The difference is, compared to like B-Wings who couldn't quite get four with heavy laser cannons, is six are really easy to destroy in one round before they shoot. At just two hole and one shield with three agility, it was not unlikely to lose it in just one shot from a three attack dice ship.
Yeah, in that way, they were kind of similar to TIE Fighters, except TIE Fighters had the benefit of a really, really strong dial, and you could fit a lot of them with 12 points in there. If you wanted to get any kind of cannon upgrade on your Sick, you're looking at a baseline of like somewhere around 20 points, which then begs the question of, okay, when I'm taking my action, I'm not getting great action economy out of these. I just get my one standard action. If I take the evade, I'm really betting on those dice to give me good offensive output, which is not a reliable strategy. Or if I take a focus or a target lock, suddenly a bad die roll for me could mean the difference between my ship staying on the board or flying off the board in a single volley, maybe even the first volley of fire.
Right. And so that's really, I think, the crux of the issue. This ship could have impressive damage output with the cannon upgrades. And three green dice, I mean, everybody loves three green dice. But with the limited amount of hole, you really need to take defensive mods so that your ship was around to shoot. Because especially at the time of Wave 6, everybody had higher pilot skills than the Sick. So if you were focus or evading, you really didn't have any mods for that four-dice heavy laser cannon shot.
Well, and we still had a strong prevalence of ships with a gunner-like ability. At that point, when the SIC came out, we saw things like dual aggressor lists that were using IGB's ability. When they miss on an attack, they get to attack again with a cannon weapon, oftentimes triggering fire control system to get a target lock, so now it's even more modified. Or still other ships with gunner on them would be able to fire again, so even if you got lucky on your 6 defense roll, they're going to get another shot and probably push some damage through.
At that time, I did okay with some 6 with heavy laser cannon and stealth device at 26 points. The thing was, it was all about variance. Sometimes stealth device held it up and you would do fine. Your one focus mod would be enough. The thing is, these ships have a pretty good dial, so they can maneuver where you want to be and dodge a decent amount of shots.
Yeah, that 5K is pretty impressive, actually.
Right, and that works really nice with the heavy laser cannon, where you get into that range 3 zone and then can just get past the opponent. Like, maybe do a 4 straight and then 5K, and you're ready to be in optimal heavy laser cannon range again.
So the first fix we kind of saw for the SIC, or the first boost it got, actually came in the FAQ before the most recent one, where they updated the card text for the heavy SIC interceptor title. It still had the same basic effect of your upgrade bar gains the cannon, torpedo, or missile upgrade icon. Still cost 2 points, but now it also says to increase your hull value by 1, which is actually a pretty big change.
So that's like a free 3 points, the cost of a hull upgrade. And that was really needed because everyone was taking sort of defensive mods because alone, they weren't quite there enough to stay on the board with that heavy title. Yeah, you wanted the additional damage output, but with the extra cost of 2 points to get an upgrade slot, which means you're going to spend more points, means this ship is now not survivable enough for its cost without that additional hit point.
Yeah, it's kind of a way to protect your investment, as it were, because you're putting a cannon on there probably. It's a good way to add that extra hit point to ensure that that cannon's going to get a little more use before it's off the table. We also saw in the last preview for the Sea Rock that they introduced another title card, which is kind of the opposite of the Heavy SIC title. It's called the Light SIC Interceptor, and it's, of course, M3A Interceptor-only title, and it reads, all damage cards dealt to you are dealt face-up. You may treat all bank maneuvers as green maneuvers, and you cannot equip modification upgrades. And it comes in at a -2 squad point cost.
Yeah, so this is only changing their 3-speed banks to green. Their 1s and 2 banks are already green. But, I mean, getting additional green maneuvers is always great. And the downside of damage dealt to you is dealt face up is not that different than like a TIE fighter survivability that has no shields. And usually that first damage that goes through is a crit, in my experience at least.
Yeah, I mean, you do have a little more susceptibility here that if you lose your shield and take a single damage, that card gets flipped face up. It could be a direct hit or a major explosion that could trigger into another damage. That's a risk, though. You are getting that point reduction, which now brings the basic level Cartel Spacer SIC into the 12-point range, which brings it into parity with just a standard TIE fighter or Z95.
Right, and this is awesome news for the SIC because before in the Scum faction, why would you take a cheap SIC without the heavy title when you could take a Z95 that was cheaper and did the same thing? It had 2 attack dice and 4 hit points with 2 green dice is about the same as 3 with 3. So it was kind of like, why would I take this more expensive version of the same thing? Now, at the same point, I think you can start to have a conversation.
So now we're catching up to this most recent preview, and I think we should start by looking at the upgrade cards that they announced, because those are going to be relevant in our discussion of the 4 new named pilots that are coming in this expansion as well. The big one here is another one that seems to be clearly directed at the SIC, though it has some application outside of the SIC that we'll talk about later. The card is Pulsed Ray Shield, and it's a Rebel and Scum-only modification coming in at 2 points, and it reads, during the end phase, you may receive 1 ion token to recover 1 shield up to your shield value. You can equip this card only if your shield value is 1.
Right, so of course the SIC has a shield value of 1, and wouldn't mind some regen. That makes the 3 green dice a lot better, because you're hopefully not getting wiped in one turn, which gives you opportunities to then regen in the future, which the SIC style is naturally good at.
When we've seen in X-Wing that regenerating abilities are some of the most powerful in the game, and oftentimes the most frustrating for the opponent who has to play against the regen list, but this regenerating ability comes at a pretty steep cost.
R2-D2 is the original negative play experience.
Yeah.
What's nice about the Pulse Ray Shield, and I think the designers were pretty clever in limiting to this to just ships with a shield value of 1, is that you never really get that far away from the damage that is dealt to you. As the attacker playing against somebody with a pulse ray shield, you'll never get that far away from the damage you have already dealt. It'll just be one off. So say you get two hits, the next turn they regen one. Well, that's, you still have that one damage card already there. They still only have three hits left when you come back for the next time to engage. So you're still making ground. It's going to be slow, but it's not like Corrin where you have to chew through three shields and then you can run away and get all three back and then you have to start all the way over again, right?
And you can also look at the factor that since you're taking an ion token, if you're a small base ship, which I think you can only put this on small base ships, right? There's no large bases with one shield.
Not yet.
Not yet, I suppose. You're going to take that ion token, which means you're going to perform a one white straight maneuver the next turn, which allows your opponent to predict exactly where that ship's going to end up the following turn. So it's not as oppressive as, say, a Corrin Horn with R2-D2 who can do a three straight and then use an engine upgrade to boost away and barrel roll and do all kinds of shenanigans to get out of arc.
Right, and I like that this follows the same design space as the original R2-D2, where limiting it to green maneuvers made it a maneuver game where you knew if they wanted to regen, you kind of knew where they were going to be because ships with R2 slots had really limited green maneuvers. And the pulse ray is in that same design space. Okay, if you want shields back, your maneuver is going to suffer. And in this case, it's just a one straight. However, for the sick in particular, that's kind of exciting because they don't have access to a one straight.
Yeah, they don't have a native one straight. If you're utilizing a cannon upgrade like a Mangler or even a heavy laser cannon, sometimes that's the maneuver you want to perform. You're engaging them at range three. You just want to go one straight. So you, not only are you getting a shield back, you're also moving that one forward space so you can maintain range where you have a little bit more of a benefit against attacks. So you have that extra agility die against regular attacks and your opponent's not getting extra attack dice moving into range one potentially.
Right. So now the original heavy laser cannon six, like, shoot me. I want to regen so I can go just that one straight and get you in my ideal range 2 to 3 shot again.
So the other upgrade card that they included is a new cannon upgrade. It's also a dual-sided card. It's called the Arc Caster, and it's for Rebel and Scum only. It is a 2-point cannon upgrade that has 4 attack dice and a range restriction of 1, and it reads, attack one ship. If this attack hits, you must choose one other ship at range 1 of the defender to suffer 1 damage. Then flip this card. The reverse side of the card says Arcaster recharging. At the start of the combat phase, you may receive a weapons disabled token to flip this card.
So this is a really cool new design space for a double-sided card. It's offensive on one side. You have to flip it, then you get to fix the gun. I personally don't think it's that great, but it's a cool design thing.
It is costed aggressively at 2 points. I mean, I will say that for a 4 attack dice attack, that doesn't have any limitation on the amount of damage you're putting out. A lot of times we'll see on cannons or missiles damage limitations, like if it's a powerful missile or cannon, yes, it does that, but it only does 1 damage in addition to its other effects here. Here you have a just straight up...
Yeah, but Tim, you're at range 1 to get 4 dice. Everybody else is rolling 4 dice at range 1, if not more. I think I'd rather take a flechette cannon over this, honestly.
No, and I think you're right in that regard. I think for 2 attack dice ships, if you're at range 1 without the cannon, you're already getting 3 attack dice. So you're only adding 1 attack dice on top of that. And if you're the ship with the Arc Caster, you're shooting and you're the only ship at range 1 of the defender, you're going to have to suffer that damage from the Arc Caster's effect. So it's actually kind of a
right.
Negative effect there on a ship like the Sick Interceptor, which already has a pretty low hit point total.
I mean, and maybe in the future, the meta changes and people are flying a lot of ships, but from what we've seen from the past few years of competitive play is it's really been about 2 to 3 ships in a list.
And also comparing this to like Auto Blaster Cannon, which also has a range 1 only restriction, there's almost no argument, I think, to be made for putting this on a ship with a cannon slot that already has 3 attack dice. Given that at range 1, those 3 attack dice ships will already be rolling 4 attack dice, so it's hard to really see a good value here when you're paying 2 points for an effect that's maybe slightly better, and sometimes it's even worse.
For a sick, I think flechette cannon, you roll 3 dice every attack, and yeah, you can only do 1 damage, but you're probably only getting 1 through anyway, and there's no real drawback. I think that's always going to be worth the 2 points for the sick over the Arccaster. I'd rather take a Mangler cannon or a heavy laser. So, Arccaster, meh. Pulse ray shield, pretty awesome.
So we also got in this preview article the four named pilots that are going to be coming along for the Sick Interceptor in the C-Rock expansion. And I think what I'll first say is I think this might be the first time where I like the pilot ability of every named pilot in a release. Like, these are all pretty cool effects, and they seem pretty balanced.
Right, this seems a lot like the Imperial Veterans expansion with the TIE Defenders, where each of those new pilots really brought its own unique and exciting thing to the ship.
So let's start at the top here with the highest pilot skill Sick in this release. His name is Genesis Red, and he's pilot skill 7. He costs 19 squad points, and he has the ability, after you acquire a target lock, assign focus and evade tokens to your ship until you have the same number of each token as the locked ship. And he has an elite pilot talent upgrade slot.
The only thing I'm upset about Genesis Red is that I wish the Sick model that the C-Rock came with was painted in Genesis Red's paint scheme.
Yeah, he's got a pretty cool piece of art there. It's kind of like, what is it, gray or black with some red highlights on there, crimson highlights.
Yeah, I might have to paint one up like that pretty soon here.
Well, that'd be good if he's a relevant ship, too. My first impression, or the first comparison I want to make on Genesis Red, I think comes in his pilot ability being kind of similar to me to the TIE Advanced Prototype's title, where you're getting some defensive value for taking the target lock action, kind of killing two birds with one stone.
Oh, Genesis Red will definitely be good. This is the same kind of pilot ability we see pushed at the high end of the pilot skills, getting multiple actions for one action. The original offender, Soontir Fell, and then, of course, his little child, the Inquisitor, doing the same thing. Here, Genesis Red will often get at least one free action and perhaps a lot more.
Yeah, and what I really like about him is that he seems like kind of the anti-Ace Ace, coming in a little bit cheaper than a lot of the popular Imperial Ace builds. Just off the top of our heads, we were looking at some potential builds here for Genesis to include in your squad. I'm looking at Genesis Red with Veteran Instincts to get him up to Pilot Skill 9, the Heavy Sick Interceptor title, Pulsed Ray Shield, and then some kind of cannon. So you could run him with a heavy laser cannon for 31 points or just a mangler cannon for 28 points.
Right in the range between Omega Leader and the Inquisitor, and I think he's pretty comparable there.
Well, and I really like him at pilot skill 9 then, because if you take a bid in your list, you have a pretty good chance of deciding initiative, so you can force your opponent and their ace ships to move first. So you can see, oh, that Soontir Fell, he moved, he took an evade, pushed the limit for a focus token, and then when he got stressed, he received another focus token. Well, now I can target lock that Soontir Fell, and not only have a target lock on him, I also have an evade token and two focus tokens.
Right, obviously, Soontir Fell or any other push the limit ship that wants focus evade, or even a Kanan Jarrus who wants focus, you're going to get a lot of value out of. What I like about Genesis over the Inquisitor or Soontir Fell is he or she's not getting stressed. So that leaves the whole Sick dial open.
Well, and the other cool thing I think about this, at least looking at kind of the current metagame, is that this is really good against lists with multiple X7 TIE Defenders, because there's almost always going to be a ship you can target lock who's going to have both a focus and an evade token. And you have the added benefit of having a target lock, which is pretty nifty.
I also like Genesis with Mind Link. Usually with Mind Link squads, you want your low pilot skill ships to take that initial focus action. But I could see scenarios where you want to wait, just take, you know, target lock or evade actions with your other ships, get up to Genesis Red at 7 and take that target lock action, get your focus evade token, and then give a focus token to the rest of your ships.
Yeah, that's kind of a funny thing where you're actually depending on your opponent taking a focus to give all of your ships focus. Kind of a fun Atani Mind Link trick.
Right, and I mean, we've seen when players use Polyb Gadali, who can steal opponents' focus or evade tokens, often the opponent just started taking target locks and not focusing at all, which is fine, because then
you can still focus. And
they have no defensive mods, so your HLC or Mangler will get through. The thing about Genesis Red is players will gun for her. I think work pretty hard to eliminate that threat, because that's a huge advantage that I wouldn't want to give my opponent.
But at the same time, she's on the lower end of point costs for these kind of ace ships. So I think, you know, maybe that's a good thing where you have a more valuable ace there, a more expensive ship who is a high risk for your opponent. So that really makes them choose a target priority, and then you can leverage that against them by throwing this thing out of arc or blasting past your opponent.
Yeah, and if you're taking Mind Link, she probably goes great with Fen Rao, who is threat number one, right?
The next pilot down we have is Quinjast, coming in at pilot skill 6. This ship costs 18 squad points. It has an elite pilot talent upgrade slot, and its ability reads, at the start of the combat phase, you may receive a weapons disabled token to flip one of your discarded torpedo or missile upgrade cards face up.
Finally, we have a sick where it's worth taking the missiles or torpedoes over the cannon slot.
Yeah, that was a weird thing on the heavy sick title. It always cost you 2 points, and it seemed weird to me to take a torpedo or a missile, which were going to be single use, might not even hit, versus a cannon like Mangler, where you're going to get a lot of value out of it, because it's probably going to trigger more than one time.
The thing was, Tim, with the original sick design, a cannon and a torpedo were functionally the same thing, because you're really only going to be around to shoot it once, maybe twice. But now, six have a bit more survivability with that added hit point, and now they have the pulse ray shield upgrade, so you might get some value out of recursive missiles or torpedoes, which is pretty exciting.
The build that Fantasy Flight recommended in their article was Quinjast with the heavy sick title, proton torpedo, guidance chips, and a Deadeye elite pilot talent, allowing it to shoot its secondary weapon by spending a focus instead of a target lock. Which is pretty cool. I mean, you've got 2 points of modification on that proton torpedo. You have the guidance chips to change any die result to a hit, and then you have the proton torpedo's native ability to change a focus result into a crit.
But I think the loadout you suggested is a lot better, where instead of taking a proton torpedo, you take a proton rocket, which means you don't have to take Deadeye. You can take a better elite pilot talent like Veteran Instincts, Crackshot, Atani Mind Link. And the six have 3 green dice, so that proton rocket is hitting for 5 dice. Don't have to spend the focus, you just have to have it. So you can do target lock focus pretty easily.
Or you can set some guidance chips on there if you're not going the pulse ray shields route. I think there's a lot of versatility in what builds you could do here. I'm looking at some with guidance chips and veteran instincts, but this could easily be adapted into an Atani mind link list where you're going to leverage that barrel roll to get your arc on the ship and then depend on one of your allies to pass you the focus token. I think there's a lot of different ways here. The cool thing is that you're going to be able to reuse that proton rocket, which we've never seen before in a small base ship like this.
Right. I think the pulse ray shield is still pretty nice on him, because when you are getting that weapons disabled token, that's also a great time to take the ion token as well. Come in, range 1 proton rocket, blast past, recover, get your missile back, and then come around for another pass.
Well, and it seems like this ship is also one that's ready to adapt to changing metagames, where, hey, maybe in this circumstance, evade tokens are so prevalent, we're going to switch to a homing missile and keep the pulse ray shields on there and try to get multiple homing missiles off throughout the course of the game.
That sounds fun.
The next pilot down is one with kind of a more volatile ability. I'd say these two low pilot skill 6 depend a little more on chance than the others, though this one could get some pretty consistent damage output at least once. We have Inaldra coming in at pilot skill 3 for 15 squad points. Still has the elite pilot talent upgrade slot, and Inaldra's ability reads, when attacking or defending, you may spend 1 shield to reroll any number of your dice. Now, this one's just screaming to use pulse ray shields, I think.
In my personal opinion, this is the Countess Riad of the pack. I think Inaldra is probably going to be the most impactful sick. Now, the important part here is 15 points. So that's just 1 more point than your cheapest generic. And comes with an elite pilot talent slot, which gives you access to Atani Mind Link. This is the lowest pilot skill that the scum have that has the elite pilot talent for a small base ship and is also the cheapest option. And so why that low pilot skill is pretty exciting is you want your kind of less expensive, weaker ships to take that initial focus action so that your more expensive ships can get more value out of taking their other actions.
Well, and it's really cool that this ship has an elite pilot talent slot. That's a big thing for a low pilot skill ship. Obviously, you could find a way to work it into an Atani Mind Link list. What I actually like this ship for is putting it in kind of a category I see where you have low priority ships that can still do a lot of damage. I had a lot of fun in the last couple months testing out with the TIE Striker named Countdown. This is a ship who can cancel all dice results when he's being attacked in order to just suffer 1 damage card. And what this does is you have a ship with 3 attack dice, so some decent offensive output, takes a long time to kill, and is not very expensive. I see Inaldra coming in kind of the same slot, where you can have a ship that's really inexpensive, under 20 points, who's a pretty big potential threat, especially with that native pilot ability. A simple build I was looking at was running Inaldra with the Fearlessness elite pilot talent, which says, when attacking, if you're inside the defender's firing arc at range 1 and the defender's inside your firing arc, you may add one hit result to your roll. Throw that along with the pulsed ray shield, allowing to regenerate that shield. And here you have a pretty nasty effect. You can get the ship right up in your opponent's face, have a pretty strong attack of 3 attack dice. You get the extra one, obviously, for being at range 1. Adding a hit result if you're inside each other's firing arcs. And you've got the reroll modification from spending your shield. Obviously, this is a high-risk strategy, but if you have other more pressing ships that your opponent's going to want to take down, this is a nice little distraction to throw in their face.
Absolutely. That's a pretty cheap, efficient, high-impact ship for the cost. I also like her in a squad of heavy 6 or other more expensive ships with like a heavy laser cannon, where she's not the ideal target. There's going to be higher priorities. But if you don't shoot her, then she's kind of free to spend that shield and really slam you with like a target lock focus heavy laser cannon. Because if she just sits there with a focus token, you don't shoot her. Well, then there's no reason not for me not to burn this shield to get you with a 4-hit attack.
Yeah, I think there's some really cool potential there for Inaldra. I like all these 6 in general just because they can come in at pretty effective builds at relatively low point costs for their archetypes.
Speaking of low point costs, we got a unique coming in at the same point cost as the pilot, still too generic. We have Sunny Bounder at 14 points. No elite pilot talent, but reads, once per turn, after you roll or reroll dice, if you have the same result on each of your dice, you may add one matching result.
So this is a pretty cool ability. Basically, I'm making a roll. I roll 2 red dice. They both come up focuses. I get to add a focus. They both come up hits. I get to add a hit. They both come up blanks. I get to add a blank. And it's included when you reroll dice. So let's say I roll a hit and a blank. I spend my target lock to reroll. I roll a hit. I get to now add another hit. So there's some really cool versatility here. And coming in at only 14 points means if you throw the Lightsick Interceptor title on this ship, it comes in at a mere 12 points for some pretty cool offensive potential.
It's actually not bad to add that blank. They showed in the article, if you roll blank blank and have a target lock, well, now you can add another blank and reroll all 3 of those, which is pretty exciting. So now you're just gaining another attack dice with that target lock then.
Yeah, in that way, it's kind of similar to the Finn crew card where you're intentionally adding a blank result there just so that you can reroll it with your other modifications. So I think there's a lot of cool potential in that pilot. I mean, all these pilots are pretty cool. I'm really excited to see what kind of list we can come up with. The one that Carson and I kind of brainstormed off the top of our head was using one of our favorite elite pilot talent cards, Itani Mind Link. What we got is 3 sick interceptors and then a Z95 headhunter. So kind of a low hit point squad, but we have Genesis Red with Itani Mind Link, heavy sick interceptor, pulse ray shield, and a mangler cannon. A Tensari point veteran, the 5-point generic with Itani Mind Link, heavy sick interceptor, pulse ray shield, and a mangler cannon. And then Inaldra with Itani Mind Link, heavy sick interceptor, pulse ray shield, and a mangler cannon. And then to cap it all off, we have a Kato Liachos Z95. That's the 5 pilot skill Z95 that reads, at the start of the combat phase, you may remove 1 focus or evade token from another friendly ship at range 1 to 2 and assign it to yourself. And he comes loaded out with Itani Mind Link, of course, homing missile, and guidance chips.
Yeah, and for the same point, you can get the Tensari point veteran. You could also take a Quinjast with Itani Mind Link, heavy sick title, proton rockets, and the pulse ray shield as well. So that's kind of a flex slot, whether or not you want all cannons or 1 proton rocket in there as well. And then also, Kato Lichos Z95 works pretty well with the Mind Link squad, where he hasn't quite fit in yet because you've taken more expensive ships where there's just not room. But his ability works pretty synergistically with Mind Link. He takes the focus, even if that was their only focus, because he got a focus, the ship he took it from gets the focus back. So it's really no downside. He's just getting a free extra focus each turn, which works pretty well when you're trying to fire munitions. You could do homing missile or like cluster missile works great, having double focus for both rounds of that.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of cool potential there. I like actually having a place for Kato's ability. It's cool to see him fit in. Maybe not necessarily with other sick interceptors, but at least 1 or 2. I think there's some definite value there.
What I like most about the 6 that I think is exciting from a list-building perspective is just the flexibility in the range of where you upgrade these. So you can come in really cheap at just 12 points or go all the way up to around 30 points, which means you can just fit an efficient ship in when you just have, you know, 20-ish points left over and you're not quite sure what to get. You can get an efficient option to complement your list, or you can make a pretty synergistic squad of a lot of them. And you can kind of, you know, shift one upgrade here to make this one ship a little bit better, you know, bump a Tensari down to an Aldra to fit another named pilot in your list. And so opening up a 4-ship link squad is pretty appealing because you're getting just more value out of the Mind Link. That's more free action the more ships you have with Mind Link in your squad.
And these are just a couple of builds we've come up quickly for the Sick Interceptor. If you listeners have any Sick Interceptor builds or list builds that use these new pilots and upgrades, let us know on Facebook. Post that list to our Facebook page or even send it to us on Twitter so you can show your fellow Radio TCX listeners what you've come up with, and we can maybe open up some discussions and see if we can come up with something really cool.
Yeah, I think Twitter's ideal for that one. Also, if you have some sweet, sick repaints, I might need some inspiration, so send me those on Twitter.
So that's our look at these newly previewed cards from the C-Rock. Hopefully that expansion will come out here not too far in the future. We have a lot of interesting applications for cards like Pulse Ray Shield and Arc Caster, which are usable not just on the Sick, but on a lot of other ships. We're out of time today, so we are going to talk about all those cool applications in the very near future. So stay tuned for that. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you enjoyed the show, please go on to facebook.com/radioTCX and like our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy listening to the show, please consider going on to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star review along with a comment saying what you like about the show and why other X-Wing players would be interested in listening.
If you want to support the show directly, please go on to patreon.com/radioTCX and become a supporter of the show today. It really means a lot to us. Thank you.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening. Hopefully you can start building some cool new lists with the Sick Interceptor and these new pilots and upgrades. And we will talk to you next week.